You're listening to the New World to Go podcast with your hosts, Redbird and BDLG.
Hello and welcome to another episode of New World to Go. I'm your host, Redbird, and with me is BDLG. Bordy.
Yo, 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 yep.
Welcome, dude. Another week in New World. We got a lot to talk about tonight, so let's hop right in here. First and foremost, we want to thank you guys for all the five-star rating reviews that you guys did this week. We got an insane amount. Bordy, you have a few to read off, so why don't you go ahead and give those shout-outs here.
I do. Along with the five-star reviews, we did receive three of them that gave us some nice comments. So I'm going to read those to you guys real quick. So the first one here comes from Mevma TV. It says, while trying to stream New World on Twitch outside of my day job, there's pretty much no free time to learn more. This podcast has taught me a ton about the game and on how to improve my stream quality revolving around it. Thanks, signed Mevma. Thank you, Mevma, for the kind words. We appreciate that. Glad you're enjoying the content. The next one comes from S. Fleener. This is more of a question, Red, than kind of a review, but okay. It is a five star nonetheless. So thank you for this, S. Fleener. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. It's Fleener or Flanner, maybe F-L-E-N-E-R. Anyway, thank you for the five star. It says, hope it stays around. I'm pretty sure that was in reference to New World in general from our episode last week. And he says, leveling feels a little off. I'm currently level 28 and finished the main quest and all the side quests in my starter zone. I'm currently following the story in Brightwood and I feel a little too weak. Was I supposed to do the quest in the other 1 to 25 zones? So what do you think, Red? You think going to Brightwood at level 28 is too early?
I mean, if you are going solo, potentially, I think that is just like the lower level of that zone. So, you know, I think for leveling purposes goes, if you're trying to get there quick, obviously you want to use like main storyline and board quests. But if you're just trying to have fun and complete the game or have fun in the game, then you can go back and do the starter quest zones. I don't think that's a problem. I've done them already, but I'm trying to take more of a completionist approach at New World. So, you know, it just depends on what you want to do. If you want to complete them all, and that way you don't have to do it later and get a little bit of XP for those as you're down there, then great. But if you're trying to level as fast as you can, I don't think it's a good choice. That's my recommendations.
I think that's a good answer. So the next one we had, and this is the final five-star review with a comment that we had this week, and it comes from Will Maximus, and he says, not trying to gather these guys hyssop. Is it hyssop or hyssop?
Hyssop. Hyssop.
Hyssop? I don't know how to say that word. Either way, he says, not trying to gather these guys hyssop, but this is the best New World podcast I've listened to. 69 of 10 would recommend. Let's go, dude. Thank you for that, Will Maximus. We very much appreciate those five stars. It helps us out tremendously. We appreciate you guys.
Yes, thank you so much for leaving those ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And again, thank you guys for watching on the YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit the subscription button, the notification bell for more New World content like this. We got big plans coming up for the YouTube channel. Hey, Bordy, I don't know if we've announced this on the podcast yet, have we? About what's going to happen in November 1st?
I don't think we have. It'd be hey, dude, no time like the present, right? We can announce it now if you want.
I'll give you the honors. Go ahead, dude. Hey, take it away.
Sure, man. So we do have a rather big announcement. I did not know we were going to announce it on this episode. This is something we didn't talk about previous. I know, right? But both Red and I mean, and myself, we're going full-time into content creation starting November the 1st. So we're going to go full-time into working on New World fans and everything revolving around that, this podcast, all of the content we have pushed out for New World, and then just Studio Loot in general. We have some plans for the future of Studio Loot as well. So November the 1st, guys, we're going full-time, man. So expect a lot of content being pumped out on the YouTube channel very soon. We're just trying to wrap up some loose ends so that we can go full force starting in November, man. And I'm super, super excited about it, Red. What do you feel, man?
I mean, obviously very thankful for the audience, yeah. For our Patreon. You guys play a big part in our efforts and this final decision. All the people that support us on Twitch, on YouTube, and especially on New World fans. We're very grateful for you guys. Thank you so much. And yeah, we're hoping to pump out a bunch of more new content on New World fans and our YouTube channel, Studio Loot, over there. And it's going to be fun, man. I can't wait for this journey. It's scary, but exciting. So thank you guys for all your support. And yeah, we're going to keep pumping out New World content. We're in it for the long haul, and we hope you guys are too. So, Bordy, yeah. let's jump right into the news. All right, man. So first, we do have some news on the character transfer front. This has been a big hot topic since the very beginning, which is like the server issues and character transfers. So we most recently got an update on the forums, Bordy. So why don't you tell them what to expect in the character transfer department?
Yeah, man, absolutely. So as of today, as of the recording of this podcast, this is being recorded on Sunday, the 17th of October, the 17th. So this was posted 2 days ago. So on October the 15th. So this is prior to the weekend. So it says, hi, everyone. And this was posted by Kay, a New World developer. It says, hi, everyone. We have the final pieces of the server transfer system tested and ready to go. We were making a difficult decision to hold it until next week. This was a balanced call between honoring a date we told you to expect versus the disruption of a deployment during peak play period, which is the weekend. We've worked on this feature nonstop every day to make good on our date estimators, but releasing it now would mean downtime, server balance changing based on transfers, wars that might not go through due to the different rosters, and the like. You can expect several communications coming from our team in the near future, including more specific details around how we are rolling out the transfer feature and a deep dive into the lessons we learned these past couple of weeks. I sincerely want to thank you for sticking by us through the ups and the downtimes. Thank you, Kay. So it sounds like, Red, that they do have the server transfers ready to roll out and ready to go, and I would imagine we'll see them pretty early next week. So maybe by the time some of you are listening to this podcast, the server transfers will have already have taken place. But I think it was a good call for them to hold off and not roll this out during the weekend, because like they said, it would have disrupted a lot of play time during the weekend, which is obviously their peak play hours and peak play period. So probably a good thing that they held off and pushed that back until this week.
Yes, definitely. You know, the weekend is a peak time, and I think if you're going to roll something out like this, you definitely want to make sure it's the timing is correctly, because I think you're going to see a lot of migration during this period. A lot of people have been waiting to play with their friends. They've been patient, leveling on a different server, getting ready to join the company that they intended upon launch. I know we have a few people. One of our good buddies, Hookem, is looking to transfer over. So that feature is something a lot of people are looking forward to. So I'm glad that they're kind of being patient and making sure that the timing is right before they roll that bad boy out. So on the other news front, we got patch 1.02. So we're flying through the decimals here, Bordy. We're already at 1.02. We're only 3 weeks in. We had some faction mission adjustments, Bordy. Now, me and you, we run companies in the game. We have a territory right now, Brightwood. And one of the most stressful parts of owning Brightwood was seemed to be some sort of like bug or exploit with territory influence, Bordy. So this was a big change, Bordy. What happened to the faction missions in New World?
Yeah, man, it was quite frustrating because the faction missions were bugged. So it seems like they have adjusted those things now. So it says that they've adjusted the rates of influence gain over time so that it will continue to require significant effort over time to flip a territory into a conflict state. So they reduced the amount of influence increase over time significantly for attacking factions. And this is to account for a bug we found where the increase was multiplied much faster than intended over time, and removed the decrease in influence over time for defending factions. So like you said, Red, you had a voice crack right there. Holy crap, dude. So
like you said, a bald little teenager for you.
Exactly, dude. I don't know what happened there. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, we experienced this firsthand, and it was quite frustrating because people were coming in and just pumping out. Well, they weren't even pumping out faction missions. They were just coming in, doing the faction missions and increasing their influence so fast that it was really hard for us to keep up. So whenever they pumped it up, whenever we seen any kind of tick in the faction influence, we had to almost have a call of arms for everybody to go over there and run missions to get it back down to zero. Because as soon as it started ticking up to like 10, 15%, it was like it would go from 15% to like 80 in a blink of an eye. So this was a good change, man. I'm glad they addressed that and fixed that, because it was definitely a problem for sure.
Yes. You know, it was just, it made it to where it was like exhausting to defend your territory, because you know, it was like at the blink of an eye, you could be all like near war. And we had people around the clock. Obviously we have two companies working together as one. And we have, I mean, we would have like hundreds of people doing these company or these faction missions just to keep the percentage where it was. It didn't even change it defensively. It just basically stopped them from gaining more influence. So they made a lot of adjustments. We did a lot of PvP missions this weekend, and it seems to be a lot more balanced. You can tell we had a pretty decent opposing army size, and we were a decent army as well. And it was a fun back and forth, and it felt like what we were doing made a difference, which I think is the best part of the change. It feels really bad to, like, you know, have your entire company rally around a territory, and it only took like a small group of the other faction to keep up with you. So I think it feels much better now that they made the changes.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. Yeah, so I think one of the other really big bug fixes here, and I don't think we want to go through all these patch notes, because they had general bug fixes on the list, and then AI fixes, and then some store fixes for the in-game store. We'll let you guys read over those. But one of the other big ones I really wanted to talk about is this one here. It says, they fixed an issue causing players kicked, suspended, banned, or removed from the game by easy anti-cheat to receive unclear communication. Additional messaging has been added so that players can better understand the penalty they receive. So this kind of ties in to a bigger issue that's been going on in the community, where people have been just mass reporting people and they've been getting banned apparently so that they can't participate in the wars. Have you heard about that situation, Ren?
I've heard some about it, I think it's just improper. I don't think it was intentional the way that was behaving. No. You know, just a bunch of 50 people get mad at somebody and banning them doesn't seem correct.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that are going to have to go into consideration to fix that. That is an issue that I hope they get fixed very, very soon. And I hope this is a step in that direction to fix that, because that's a pretty scummy thing to do, in all honesty. And it's frustrating that people exploit things in that manner. Whenever somebody finds that that's the case and you can do it, then people are just going to do it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the little exploit is. People are going to take advantage of it and do it. And so I'm glad they're like, it seems like they're trying to address it some, and hopefully that'll get fixed before too long, because that's a pretty big deal. And I hope it gets handled, but I have faith. Man, these guys are working a lot, dude. They've already pumped out 2 patches. I know they want this game to be successful, and so I think they're heading in the right direction for sure with all these changes and adjustments.
Yes, and here's the final one that I hope they fix soon, because me and you are both level 60 now, and that is Outpost Rush, Bordy. So tell us a little bit about why Outpost Rush is currently unavailable.
Yeah, man. So this was posted by Trevzor on the forums, and it says, greeting adventurers. Due to an issue with players getting stuck in the Outpost Rush queue, we're temporarily disabling Outpost Rush while we investigate. When queuing for Outpost Rush, while it is disabled, you will see the following notification. The game mode is currently disabled. We will have more information about Outpost Rush and when it will be available again soon. Thank you for patience and understanding. And then 3 days ago, there was another update posted by Tosh, and it says the team continues to work on the issue with Outpost Rush. A player could become stuck indefinitely when entering or exiting the game mode, which is why we had to disable it. We currently don't have an ETA when the game mode will be back, but we'll keep you updated once we have news. Thank you for your patience and reports to helping making New World a better game. So, yeah, man, I think that was a pretty big issue, too. It seems like it says players could become stuck indefinitely when entering or exiting the game mode, dude. That's pretty brutal, Red.
This is the only way that my completionist approach of leveling paid off. Is that I didn't get to 60 fast enough to get stuck in Outpost Rush indefinitely. Because that would have been one of the first things I did at 60, probably, is queue up for Outpost Rush. So, yeah, obviously, I hope they get this fixed quickly, just for the sake of the players that are stuck in there indefinitely, but also so we can, have some fun doing a new game mode.
Yeah, man, I am really looking forward to playing some Outpost Rush, because it's so different from Wars or any other mode in the game. And it's unfortunate that it's not working, and hopefully they'll get it fixed. It's crazy that they're getting stuck in there indefinitely. That would suck. I feel for those people. But hopefully it'll get fixed soon, man, because I want to play some freaking Outpost Rush, dude.
Dude, absolutely. Me and you, I think the last game we played in a serious basis was ESO. And I'm pretty sure we leveled from like zero, or whenever you can get into the battlegrounds, to 50 just in PvP. Yeah. So that those sort of repeatable, small group PvP modes, dude, I'm 100% addicted to, and I hope that they can get that in the new world quickly.
Same.
And it seems like, you know, obviously they got a patch coming up to instigate or like install the player transfers, so maybe we'll get to hear more about Outpost Rush then as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, dude. Well, that about sums it up for the news. Let's move into our main topic of the week. All right. So one of the big things going around Reddit and in-game and every other facet or aspect of content creation around the atmosphere is the economy. Now, the economy has been a very challenging thing, Bordy. Obviously, you know, board missions were the best way to level or seemed to be the most efficient way to level. And so by doing board missions, a lot of the items in New World had inflated prices because it's like if you want quick XP, you're going to pay a little bit of extra gold. So, you know, that was kind of the first vibe of the economy. But now we've kind of seen some other things surface. And that is the watermark grind and grinding elite areas. And the, you know, the easily accessible tier 5 refining, you know, refining materials and the potions kind of like hindering the economy. So a lot of people are concerned, obviously, Bordy. So we're going to talk about a little bit about that on this episode. So I think the first thing we're going to ask is you know, I guess, what is your opinion on the state of the economy? And do you think it'll eventually fix itself? Or do you think that New World might have to kind of intervene in some of these avenues?
I don't know, man. It's pretty interesting to watch what has happened here from early game because I'm not going to lie, dude. I did spend like 15 gold a potion one time on like some weak mana potions because I didn't have the stuff to buy them. And I was getting close to 60 and I wanted to level. So I was like blowing all of my money on town board quests. Mm-hmm. And some of that stuff was priced
now you're poor.
Absurdly high. And now I'm poor. Yeah. But I think that was, you know, I kind of expected that to die down for sure as the rush of players began to hit the kind of max level. And I still think that's a very small percentage of players that are at max level. But we have seen that die down some. And I think that'll continue to die down and fix itself. So then those will even out. Like some of these things that aren't worth a lot of money or shouldn't be worth a lot of money won't be on the trading post because everybody's going to be a higher level or be able to get this stuff a little bit easier. So I think that part will be fine. That part will definitely fix itself and we'll see some of the pricing of things like begin to fall into line as to where they should. But I think that might still take a couple of months, to be honest, as people get up into the higher levels and most people are leveled up to 60 at that point. And we start seeing higher level items start to get on the marketplace, then the lower level items aren't going to be worth near as much. But I don't know. There are some weird things happening now with the elite level grind with all of this high tier material coming in. So I do think that New World might have to step in some form or fashion and adjust the drop rates for some of those things because those are like tier 5, you know, end game materials that you can just go get pretty easily by going and farming these places. So I think they're going to have to step in and tune up some of that stuff some, but over time, I do think the economy is going to end up fixing itself with some of these things that players are always going to need, right? Whenever you look at the crafting, you still need some of the low tier materials to craft some of the higher tier items. So I think those are always going to be valuable. People can always sell those things. So I think over time, the economy will begin to kind of adjust and fix. And I think it's a little bit too early to tell, though, man. It's just in a very, very weird state right now, without a doubt.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's hard to see this kind of fixing itself without some sort of nerf to the drop rates of these refining materials. Obviously, you need a lot of these refining materials, so it isn't something that, you know, is the bottleneck for high level crafting. Obviously, your rare mats are still the bottleneck. But, I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people are just stacking these bad boys up because of these farm routes and getting, you know, trying to get your watermark up, which we'll maybe cover that in another episode. But, you know, this is kind of, I guess, concerning people. And one of the other things that concerns people, Bordy, is it too hard to make gold after you finish most of your quests? Now, questing was a great source of gold as you kind of level up and continue to move forward. It's mainly the only benefit for doing side quests for the most part. So, you know, now at in game, it does seem like the only way to really make gold is through the through the auction house or through the trading post, sorry. And what do you think about that as the, because there's no vendors, you can't vendor anything to get gold. The only way you can make gold is to sell things to other players. So what do you think about that, Bordy?
Well, that goes back to like the economy fixing itself, because right now, whenever you post stuff out there, it's hard to price it or hard to sell it. And I think that's across the board on almost every server out there right now. It's just in a weird, weird spot. So there's, I think there has to be some other way to go, like make gold in a viable manner, right? And I think going and grinding elites, you do get some gold drops from killing them. You get a little bit of gold from doing like portals and things of that nature, but you don't get a ton. So it's very, and you shouldn't get a ton. There's got to be a balance there somewhere, but going and grinding out to get gold, like grinding certain spots, grinding mobs, grinding expeditions, just doesn't seem to be a great way to obtain money in New World. So it is tough, dude. And I feel like potentially there should be maybe the higher level mobs need to drop more gold, maybe or something, because I know back in beta or alpha, I don't know if we can even talk about that or not, but in one of the iterations of the game, I don't remember which one it was. I think it might have been the closed beta. There was a problem where every time you killed a mob, you got money. So you could just go grind mobs and you get a lot of money. You get a lot of coin, and it was pretty easy to come by in certain iterations of the game. But now it's like it's flipped. It's opposite, because now you don't get gold whenever you kill mobs. You get it like randomly whenever you kill a mob. It's like one gold or something. So it's not a lot. So I don't know, man. I don't know what they're going to do to fix the problem, because you can't, it's hard to make money on the town board right now. And it seems like a lot of the companies that own territory, that's really the way you make gold, right? Is you own the territory and you get it from the trading tax and all of that stuff. So it's kind of the lone player or the smaller companies, people don't own territory. They're kind of left hanging out there, dude. So I don't know. It's tough. Maybe they need to adjust the drop rate of coin on mobs. That's about the only thing I can think of right now. Or maybe chests give you gold or something. I don't know. It's a tough situation right now, man, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's a lot of things going on, which makes pinning down like maybe a solution or some changes to make, kind of hard to do. The final thing about the economy that we had is the thought of maybe the ability to max out every profession is going to maybe negatively affect the economy long term as well. Being a lot of people are going to be self-sufficient, and what are your thoughts on that, Bordy? On the potential of not having to specialize in a profession like other games, you would have to kind of pick and choose which one you're going to do. Now that everybody can maybe be self-sufficient, helping, craft everything for themselves, what do you think about the long-term impact on the economy and the player base of that nature?
I don't know. It's a little bit too, it's definitely too early to tell how that's going to affect it. My initial reaction is that it's not going to have much of an impact, because I don't think that every player in the game is going to want to max every single profession. I just don't think that's reasonable to think that. I think that a lot of people may try. I think that over time, a lot of people may get there like later on. But I think at that point, they'll have patches out or updates out that either raise the max of the profession, add new recipes. I think there's a lot of things that will happen to the game before then. So I think it's really way too early to tell if that's even going to be an issue, but I don't think so, because even if hypothetically every player in the game had all of their professions maxed, every player in the game then is not going to want to go out and gather those materials for those professions. So I feel like there would still be people that gather stuff that don't necessarily want to use that profession. They're going to sell it on the auction or on the trading post just to get money or whatever. So I don't know that it's really going to have that big of an impact on the economy. Plus, I don't think every player is going to want to max out every trading profession. I just don't see that happening.
It takes
happening,
way
man.
Too long to
takes,
do that.
It takes a long, long
There's
time.
There's no way casual players will be able to do that, which there maybe in can be the solution is then, as a more casual player, you just specify in one thing and then use that to help trade to get what you need. So it's like maybe you're you can create consumables like cooking, and you make the best staff foods and everything, and you kind of hand those out in exchange for maybe armor and your potions or you know what I mean, et cetera, et cetera. I think this might be maybe just a different way to get things that you need in the game is bartering and stuff like that. Maybe you can skip gold altogether if you're kind of really good at one of the crafting. Thanks.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. It's an interesting topic, man. What do you think about having a global, like a global auction house versus the localized trading post system that they have in place now? I don't know that they could even implement it now because it's too like set in stone, but I have seen that mentioned a ton, like in game by people, like wondering why there isn't a global trading post. What do you think? Would you rather have a global trading post than this localized type of economy, or what would you want?
I don't know, because one of the ways it's challenging, right? Because one of the things about that is, you know, some of the items you do have may be valuable, more valuable in a different town. So maybe like playing markets in different areas on the map might be better. It might be a unique way. I know like Black Desert has something similar to that, where, you know, you want to move around the map to sell things because of the value of it. A lot of other MMOs have kind of tried to go down that path to try to make that more viable, like going into a fishing zone and catching the fish there and then taking them inland to a place that doesn't have access to fish kind of brings more money. And that's kind of part of playing the economy. So that can be a thing. But one of the things that I think will eventually happen, or it does happen, is like people just, you know, you can search the entire system of the trading post. You can look, if I'm in Brightwood, I can filter through the entire world map, and that what ends up happening is I just find something cheap, and then I have to use my Azoth to get there to buy it. So it's kind of like, I guess it's like an Azoth sync at that point, you know, from having these differently, which they may intend to do as well. Azoth is kind of meant to be, you know, this limiting factor of the game, and this is probably a discussion for another episode. I'm not so sure that works, man, because it just ends up kind of making you feel like, oh my gosh, now I have to run for the next 20 minutes. Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I can go buy this. Yeah. And the only downfall to me going to get this dope helmet or this dope weapon is now I have to run back for 15 minutes to my town. And I'm not sure that's a great game loop either. It's like, you can go get this stuff, but we're going to punish you by taking your time away. It's kind of like, I don't know, man. It's kind of one of those things that is a little bit strange. But overall, I think there's definitely some improvements to be had. But, you know, I think a lot of the problems with this current economy, Bordy, is the potentially a 1% problem at this point. Because I think the board missions, like we spoke about at the top of the episode, have kind of leveled off now. Now that a lot of people have kind of, that were kind of a little bit what you would consider to be sweaty, I guess, or hardcore, have pushed through the board missions and gotten to 60, a lot of those items that you required for the board missions have kind of dropped in price, right? All of them, but some of them have. And so I think we'll continue to see that, Bordy, as it becomes less and less important to complete these for XP grind. And then hopefully the newer players have a very viable way to level up relatively cheaply.
Yeah, I would think that's probably going to happen. I think that we're already seeing that happen, but I want to go back to what you said just a second ago too about playing the markets in the different zones. I think that that's something that may happen over time, and I kind of do like the localized economy versus the global trading house for a lot of different reasons. I think that ties in nicely to the factions and owning the settlement and whatever, because if you have a nice trading hub in that particular area, you're going to get more taxes for that or whatever, which entices you to own that territory, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes to make a localized trading post there. And I'm fine with that side of things. And ultimately, I think what this boils down to, like all this uproar about the economy just not working well in the game, I think what it boils down to is that it's just too early, man. It's too early to be making these assumptions that it's not going to work long term, because I think a lot of this stuff is about to change. I think the pricing is going to change as players begin to level up. It's going to change. I think a ton of this stuff is going to change over time. And I think there is a possibility that 3-4 months down the road, we're sitting here thinking, oh man, this economy is really good. It's working really well. Things are priced appropriately. Like things are going as intended now versus how they are now. Cause right now it is kind of weird. But I think it's just way, way too early to like judge the economy right now. The game hasn't been out, but for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. And to your point, I think it does get interesting. Once people are all max level, or a lot of people are max level, and then it kind of looks at like, okay, well, you know, maybe this zone has a tier 5 alchemist, station where the other ones don't. So I'm going to take all my alchemy supplies and sell them there, knowing that most people are going to come there to craft. And, yeah, and, exactly. And that stuff gets interesting, and I like that idea of potentially having that aspect of the market. But I think we need more. I think we need more beneficials of pulling, like, because we all know there's zone-specific items that you can only get in certain zones. I would like to see some sort of system that rewards bringing those to different, you know, to different, you know, zones. Maybe, like, because the game obviously is set up that way. What if you could take the spices in First Light and then take them to Ebon Scale for like some sort of board mission that gave you like a lot of gold? You know, that was like,
yeah,
I think that's maybe they don't add vendors or ways to, make money by selling things just to like an NPC, because that's, I think, the general like way to gain gold in most games. But maybe they use the board quest system, or even the faction quest system, to kind of reward that sort of transport, maybe taking things across the map and stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's a lot of things they could do, and I think there's a lot of things they probably will do and address down the road, yeah. I would imagine. But I think right now they have their hands full with the server issues, managing this many players that play the game. I just don't think they're expecting this type of turnout for the game. So they're trying to work hard behind the scenes to fix bugs and fix all the other issues that have kind of cropped up unexpectedly. And I think these things will ultimately be okay long term. Right now things are weird. I think it's a little too early to kind of just think that things just aren't going to be okay down the road, though.
Yeah, we got to see how things level out. And it's just, you know, the startup is obviously going to be very skewed towards just items that help people level up. And as that kind of gets less and less useful, I think things will find a home in a particular price range and stuff like that. All right, Bordy. Well, that about does it for the main topic. Why don't we transition into the company of the week? All right, Bordy, take it away.
All right, man. The first company of the week we have here is called Dragon's Creed. They have a really dope logo here, man. I like it. It's like almost like a buff dragon. Looks like those are dragon wings, but it looks like a dragon with biceps. It looks pretty cool. I like it, actually. Their server is EU. They are a Covenant faction. They are trying to establish a tight-knit community set up to thrive. They're focusing on all aspects of the game. Their commitment level is casual, and they are hardcore friendly if you choose to play that way. It says the Dragon's Creed is a new, friendly, and welcoming community open to all kinds of players. We intend to join the game to the fullest and, of course, do some PvE, some PvP, crafting, gathering, dungeons, socializing, role-playing, and more. We don't see a lot of companies that are into role-play, so this seems more like a company that's wanting to just kind of socialize and role play, which I think is dope. There's not a lot of those out there, at least to my knowledge. We've had a couple of those on the show, but not very many. So if you're into role play and you're on EU, go check them out. The Dragon's Creed. There's a ton of other information about them on their recruitment page, so we'll make sure to link that below. And then the next company is called Toast. They are NA East. They have over 2,500 people. So it sounds like if you want to be in a huge gaming community, this might be for you. So it says they are Covenant. They're in a East, and it says over 2,500 members ready to go for launch. Come dominate the map with us. So it says they're a member-driven MMO gaming community composed of a diverse group of adults of all walks of life, but they're all committed to having fun. They've been to multiple events such as BlizzCon, Comic-Con, SakuraCon, etc. Did I say that right, Red? That sounds like an anime convention. Not an anime.
What?
Maybe. SakuraCon?
That's like a video game.
SakuraCon? Oh, that's a video game? SakuraCon?
Sakura. I mean, that was like a samurai type of blood.
They had a convention around
Dark Souls,
that game?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I didn't go.
I don't know what convention that is, but either way, you guys get the point. They said they welcome all people to join us, PvE or PvP. They're just looking to welcome more members to play games and have a good time. So if you guys are interested in joining a very, very large community, it sounds like they have a lot of people playing New World. Go check them out. Sounds like they're going to basically dominate a server that they're on, or at least that's their goal. So they have 2,500 people plus. They're on NA East. They are the Faction Covenant, and we'll make sure that we link all of their information below, as well as the previous company that was mentioned, the Dragon's Creed. So go check those two out.
I'm Googling it right now, dude, because that is not the game.
I thought it was like an anime convention or something, right? And I that's why I didn't think I knew what it was, because I don't know anime. It says it is SakuraCon is an annual 3-day anime convention held during the March or April. at the Washington State Convention Center in Seattle, Washington. Boom, there you go, dude. There it is, man.
Well, I mean, I enjoy anime just as much as the next person, but I did not know there was a con for enjoying anime. But why wouldn't there be? Yeah. You know, there's a con for literally everything. But there is a game. In my defense, there's a game called Sekiro or two.
I think that's Sekiro. I think that's with an I.
You just said it the same way, dude. What do you mean? You
think it's Sekiro? Yeah. I don't know, man. Anyway.
All right, guys. Well, whatever. Thanks a lot. We'll talk about this. Maybe we'll dedicate an entire episode to SakuraCon.
We're really just about to argue about it off air.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we'll take care of this later. But thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it, guys. And we will see you on another episode of New World to Go.